May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you do a chronological study of the resurrection and the appearances of the resurrection, there are some fascinating things. The Mark passage sort of throws in part of Luke chapter 24, but kind of basically what happened in terms of the disciples is that Jesus does appear to Peter. Luke 24 talks about that. And he comes and appears to the two walking on the Emmaus Road. And then he comes to the upper room and appears to them maybe twice. The first time it says, it's either that or it's a much longer conversation than what John records. But when he first appears to them, he rebukes them. And then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and then he rebukes them for their hardness of heart. And the Luke 24 passage says, at that appearance in the upper room, they were full of joy, but it was hard to believe. Even though there were all these signs, he was in front of them, and it was hard to believe. And then some days later in Galilee, they encounter him again, and that's when he's the Peter thing, and casting out on the other side, and he eats fish with them, and then meets with them again. And it says, yet some were still doubtful. That's encouraging to me, somewhat, because these were the apostles. But having said that, and knowing that Jesus works with us as we struggle through our unbelief, even when things are right in front of us, but understand in his heart to see us grow as disciples, as followers, our faith works through love. So our faith is as important to him as our love for him. Because our faith is a tangible expression of our love for him. Faith is wrapped up in obedience. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so when he first sees them in Mark, when he appears to them in that upper room that evening, it says in John that John, when he looked into the tomb, went in the tomb, he believed. We know that Peter encountered, but Peter's still struggling with kind of guilt and all kinds of stuff until John 21, when his calling was reaffirmed, when the fact that Jesus let him know he could still use him, as he always intended. But in this place, he comes to them, and he rebukes them, and he says to them, because it said, when Mary came and gave the report, it says they refused to believe it. Now, Mary gave a report. The other ladies also gave a report. The two on the Emmaus walk had just come in. They'd given their report. And it says they refused to believe it. And he says, when he's talking to them, he reproaches them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Then he says, now go and preach. It's like he didn't give up on them, but he's still rebuking them, challenging them. I like the language there because he said, it says that they refuse to believe. Faith is not a feeling. It's a choice. Now, faith will result in feelings. Our emotions reflect what our minds are set on, what we believe. But our feelings can't be an indicator or can't be the thing that drives us to believe or not believe. You have to understand that Peter and John had seen physical evidence that something had gone on. They saw the empty tomb, the cloths, the women, and encountered the angels. They encountered Jesus themselves. Mary had also encountered him and spoken to angels. I mean, there was a lot of circumstantial evidence. The two of them rode to Emmaus. These are friends that were part of the deal. They weren't part of the 11, but they were part of the close group, part of the crew. And yet, in all that circumstantial evidence, they refused to believe. And Jesus didn't say to them, bless your heart. I understand, in light of the fact that you haven't seen me yet, you don't believe. He actually rebuked them for their hardness of heart. Some people are more emotional than other people. And with Livia, I'm more of an emotional person. Mary's known us than Livia is. And so emotions can be a blessing because I can be emotive and feeling, but also be a curse because they can be the leader instead of the followers. Emotions should never lead. They should always follow. And faith is something that you believe, that you choose to do. Don't wait to feel it to say you're walking in faith. Feelings will follow. And dare to be childlike enough to believe based on somebody else's testimony or the indicators around you. How many times have we had things happen in our lives that seem to be going in a direction that God's in, that we've been praying for, but we'll let go? Yeah, but I don't want to get too excited because, you with me? Because we don't want to get let down again. And you see, these guys had a lot of emotions. If you look at the passages in John, it says they were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They were in a lot of fear. Every one of them had fled the cross except for John. So they were in a lot of fear. They were in a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. There wasn't a lot to be proud of. And things didn't look very well. And so they were getting all these indicators. They couldn't touch it yet. They didn't see it yet. They were getting all these indicators, including the testimony of others. And Jesus rebukes them based on that. As I've gotten older, one of the things I get concerned about is how easy it is as we get older to get cynical. And we make fun of people who just believe anything. I'd rather you believe anything than believe nothing. And I just meet brothers and sisters who just won't believe anything because they've been so disappointed before and so let down that they just won't believe anything. Unless they see him and put their fingers in his side. And don't think Thomas was just a bad guy. The Luke passage says the first time he appeared 8 days before Thomas, they all saw his side and scars too. That's why Thomas basically said, well, I ain't going to believe. You guys got to see the scar. I'm not believing until I see him. So this storyline about Thomas being the real unbeliever, he was just like the rest of them. And again, after appearing to them in the upper room, after the casting of the net, after Peter eating fish, after Peter being confirmed, they all get together. He appears to 500, and yet in Galilee it says some were still doubtful. These were the apostles. Again, God used them, right? But one of the things I pray, God, I don't want to make it so hard for you. I want to be childlike enough and not be so afraid I'm going to get disappointed. It's not going to work out right. I want to believe. And it's not like you want to believe every nut job that comes along and tells you a story about something. You with me? Maturity does impact testimony. But these were pretty trustworthy people. They were all telling them, we saw him, we've talked to him, we've eaten with him. And so one of the things I encourage you is, because I've had to do this a lot as a Christian leader. I remember one time in Africa on the bus with somebody who I really respect, was arguing with me about somebody that they didn't think was God because he told jokes during his message. This was at a meeting. I thought, whoa. He has like a 40-year history of fruitfulness. And he told a few wild prophetic stories. I'm going, well, can't you just spit out the grass? I mean, the briars and chew the grass? There are 40 years of fruitfulness, and so everything wasn't perfect. So? You have to put your fingers in his side before you're going to believe? I choose to believe. And I'm having a happier bus ride than you are and a trip in Africa because I believe and you don't. I don't want to question everything. I want to believe everything. And then if I have to question, I will. Do you understand that's the way we're supposed to work? We don't question everything because we're afraid we're going to get disappointed. We're believe everything and then question when we need to. The Holy Spirit's faithful. He'll show you what to question. If it's a wackadoodle giving you a word, then you'll know. But sometimes God will even speak through a wackadoodle. You know that? Just to test you. Sometimes he will offend your mind to reveal your heart. Don't you wish you'd just write it down? We'd know how to do it right every time. We'd have some rules. It's a relationship. But use these folks as a testimony. Faith is a choice. Easy when you're standing on the word. Easier. Forget your feelings. It's a choice. But sometimes you're to believe the most ridiculous things, resurrection, based on the testimony of others. Don't be putting in a position where he's constantly having to show you his side to give you such physical evidence. The circumstantial evidence, I want to believe in that. If I'm going to get in trouble, I'd rather get in trouble believing too much than not believing enough. I said years ago, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'd rather get in trouble showing too much grace than not enough grace. And I'd rather get in trouble being childlike and believing stupid things than believing nothing. What a terrible way to live. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.